We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You are listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you for joining us on this September 4th, 2011, Global Trends Mission Against Tyranny. There's a lot of good news happening that I want to get to first, and I'll tell you about who's coming up later in this special transmission before the holiday tomorrow. The Wall Street Journal and others have been forced to report on something that we've known, well, for close to 10 years, that the EPA was ordered to lie to the firefighters, police, and others that were first responders on 9/11 and tell them that the air was safe to breathe. Now, Mount Sinai and many other prestigious medical institutions have done major studies, even going back 7-8 years, right after the event, showing that they had asbestos poisoning, lead, mercury, all sorts of other just toxins filling their lungs, and that there have been massive increases in the rate of cancer and deaths, not just in the first responders and the cleanup crew in the aftermath, but also in the police rescue dogs. So here's the Wall Street Journal. Study points to WTC cancer risk. Rates among firefighters who are at site higher than for those who weren't. Firefighters who worked at Ground Zero are 19% more likely. I've seen other studies that it shows it's even worse. Who have cancer than their colleagues who did not work at the site, according to newly published research that could pave the way for government payments to those suffering from some types of cancer. I thought we got a law passed to finally give them health care. Well, no, they still don't get treatment for cancer, but we're moving in the right direction. Continuing with some good news, as you know, the acting director of the ATF, he never got confirmed, has had to step down. He's been caught perjuring himself, and he squealed and blew the whole thing wide open that there were 6 government agencies involved, not just the ATF, FBI, DEA, but Border Patrol, Coast Guard, IRS, and others involved in shipping tens of thousands of firearms into Mexico, Honduras, and other areas, and to gangs around the United States to knock out their drug dealing competition, and then blame the Second Amendment. So internationally, it's about destabilization and arming gangs that knock out their drug dealing competition in favor of the gangs that launder their money through globalist banks, and domestically about demonizing the Second Amendment. Now, in bad news, and we were proven right, unfortunately, yet again, Libyan rebels round up blacks, put them in prison camps. The Associated Press is now having to admit that several weeks on, as the quote, rebels, the Al-Qaeda-backed, Western-backed groups, are engaged in a scorched-earth policy killing black Libyans. There's always been some racial-slash-tribal strife between the predominantly Arab area of North Africa and the black indigenous population that's always been there. And Gaddafi had kind of had a multicultural-type view on that, one of the things the dictator, I guess, wasn't too bad on. And so now things have gone from bad to worse, and it's a giant humanitarian disaster. We need to point out this is nothing but a giant NATO power grab, a resource power grab, and that this is the new UN model for warfare. They come in, the globalists covertly finance rebels. They militarily strike. It's called a humanitarian disaster, and we must send in NATO and troops to bomb and attack to liberate the country, and that it actually causes the humanitarian disaster that they claimed that they were fighting against. Now, coming up, I'm going to re-air that interview we did with Ron Paul from Wednesday because it was so powerful. And I'm asking all of you to record this or go to Infowars.com and get the YouTube of it or PrisonPlanet.tv and send it to everyone you know. Then we've got several other guests coming up. Prodigy of Mobb Deep, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer on the disaster in Libya, the CEO of Gibson, Henry Juskowitz. It's all coming up on this special Sunday transmission. I want everybody to have a great holiday coming up tomorrow, and be safe and spread the message of liberty and spend time with your family.
From from the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, he's the hardest working statesman we've got up there at the federal government level. And, of course, Congressman Ron Paul is one of the few statesmen we've got. And we've only got him for 15 minutes, so let's get right into it. Congressman, what do you make of the Super Congress and the fact that Congress was not able to even be involved in the Libya operation?
Well, to me, it's an outrage. First, the Super Congress is some newfangled invention by the people who couldn't solve the problems up there and weren't willing to cut anything, so they're just going to pick 12 people who are supposed to, you know, pick out the things to really cut. So I have no confidence that they'll achieve anything, and even if they did, it'd be risky, because why should we turn the whole Congress over to 12 individuals to make these decisions? So I don't anticipate that they're going to come up with a solution. If they did, they'll probably be raising taxes, and they probably won't cut any money away from some of this militarism going on there. They haven't even been brave enough to cut the money from Libya, so I don't expect a whole lot to happen from that Super Congress.
Congressman, is there any recourse with Obama telling Congress, I don't need your authority to go to war in Libya, I have the UN giving me the authority, and I, quote, do this for their credibility? I mean, are we just going to, I guess, sit here collectively? I mean, I know you've been fighting it, and just allow the power of the purse and the power of war to more and more move to the executive?
Yeah, I'm afraid that people aren't going to demand it, and the Congress won't respond, and there's a few of us, you know, that file suit, and we try to fight it and vote against the funding, but we never get the majority. But, you know, it's not like it's brand new. I know this is an outrage, but, you know, it's pretty much what's been going on since Truman. Truman actually, you know, did that on Korea, and, of course, we still are spending money on Korea. At times, a president would come and get token approval. They never get a declaration of war. It's just a token approval to do what I want. If I want to fight a war, I can, and Congress is expected to finance it. So we've given up a lot over the last 100 years, and I think the responsibility of the Congress to be the final decision maker on going to war, that's been long gone lost, but that's one of the things we've all been fighting for, is try to restore that principle to our country.
Recently, shifting into monetary issues, you had Bernanke on the hot seat. You said, is gold money? And he said, no, it's not. Their counterfeit Federal Reserve notes are. Now we've seen 2 weeks ago on Meet the Press, the former head of the Federal Reserve, Greenspan, I'm sure you saw it, say, hey, we're not going to default. We'll just print money. But isn't that a form of default? That's that inflation tax you've been talking about, and another way of cheating people that have bought the treasuries. I mean, it's looking more and more like Hitler in his bunker to watch the Federal Reserve giggling about what they're doing.
Yeah, once a country gets this indebted, they never pay their bills. They can't work their way out. Theoretically, we could, you know, if we did all the things necessary, but in reality, countries don't. And especially if you end up over 40% of the money you need to operate, if you have to borrow it, it's at a point almost of no return. So they have to liquidate the debt. First, they won't admit we're in bankruptcy because they've been able to pawn it off on the American taxpayers by raising taxes and inflating the currency and borrowing around the world. But we literally are bankrupt. So the debt has to be liquidated. And it is true, we won't default on the debt in the sense that they won't pay off the holders of bonds. They'll always be paid off, just like the holders of the obligations for Social Security will always send a check. But what they don't have control on is the value of that money they send. Matter of fact, it is a deliberate policy of the Fed, and Bernanke has essentially admitted this, that the only way we can get out of this is inflation. Some of the liberal economists are saying what this economy really needs is an inflation rate of about 6%. And so they're actually encouraging the inflation in order for the real debt to go down. Obviously, if your dollar loses 50% in purchasing power, your real debt goes down 50%. So 50% inflation, which they're liable to get, the real debt goes from 14 down to 7. But the real problem is everybody doesn't suffer equally. Some people suffer more. Some people actually benefit. And the middle class generally gets wiped out. And if they want to aim for 5, 10, or 15, or 30% inflation, they don't have control of it. It may turn into 100% inflation, and it'll get out of control. And that's what I think is our greatest danger right now.
Congressman, it's been said by a lot of pundits that you're a prophet. I think Al Sharpton even said that. And they can't deny that basically everything you've talked about has now come true. And they say Ron Paul's on a mission. He's certainly educating people. So at least they're admitting that you are in a war of ideas and that you're trying to change the course of history. And I would say successfully doing that, win, lose, or draw. But getting some into the campaign, even when you were on Neil Cavuto yesterday or a few days ago, I saw it on YouTube last night, not sure when. You know, he kept saying, too bad you can't win. I sure love you. Too bad you can't win. So it was kind of a back slap in a smiley way. I'm not attacking Cavuto. But the issue is, in every poll I've seen, I watch it, you've been number one, number two, or number three for the last 6 months. And you win the New Hampshire straw poll. You get a technical tie, even when they're buying the votes in Iowa. And they put out this hoax that you can't win. But then, meanwhile, and this is what I want you to speak to, you've got Romney, who's the Obamacare author, his model. It's now come out that not only was Perry the campaign manager in Texas for Gore, but that now we learn in 93 he gave speeches and wrote letters endorsing Hillary Care, worse than Obamacare, and forced Gardasil shots, sir. So I know you're a gentleman, but it all hinges, in my political opinion, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you have much greater gravitas than I, on you going after these people because they are basically like Obama, but they look more like Ronald Reagan. I mean, what do you say about these two establishment hacks that the system is exalting as our, you know, as our new leader?
But generally, over the years, I've allowed their policies to speak for themselves, and their policies are now failing wholesale. That's why our voice is growing in strength and credibility, because everything they say and do and advocate is a total failure, whether it's the wars they fight or the printing of the money or running up these debts and all these proposals for the bureaucracy. I mean, just think of the size of government over the last the growth of the government over these last 50 years has been horrendous. So I think that is such glaring evidence that I don't relish the thought of just really accusing them of all sorts of things, because they're all to blame and it's bigger than one person.
I understand, but those are the guys that they're selling your voters, mainline Republicans, libertarians, conservatives. I mean, Rick Perry has gone from doubling, you know, the size of Texas government in 10 years to saying basically that he's, you know, I'm the real Ron Paul. I'm Rick Perry. And, the Federal Reserve is almost treacherous or treasonous. I mean, he's trying to become you. So what do you say to that?
Well, I think that people have to realize and look at his record. And when they look at his record, they know that he's a flip-flopper. I mean, how can what he say be much different than what Romney has done with his medical care system up in Massachusetts? And you're right. Barry has endorsed Hillary's program. So, but the American people, I guess one reason why it seems so obvious to me, why does anybody even have to lecture people? Why don't they just wake up and look at history and investigate a little bit? But I think more and more is coming out. I think Perry, is going to be a very, very formidable politician, and he may well walk off with it. But it's the sad state of affairs if the people don't wake up and look at their records. You know, how can they be so happy about, like you said, he was the chairman for Al Gore in Texas in, 1980, I guess.
1988, handing roads over to center of Spain, Bilderberg Group meetings, forced inoculations. I mean, the fact is he's doing all this stuff now, not just in 93 praising Hillary. What person in their right mind would support Hillary Care? I mean, I was 18 years old when they were trying to ram through, or 17, and I knew it was bad when I was 17. So right there, it shows he's got major judgment problems.
People in Washington that I've known for years, and those generally who run for the presidency, the only thing that motivates them is power. And it's not sound ideas, it's not freedom, and they're locked in on this power struggle. Both parties are this way. The parties pretend they're different, and they have different rhetoric, but, regardless of which which party's in control, they end up doing the same thing.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
To provide special benefits to those special interests that put them in the power.
Yes, sir.
The reason why things are so different today is we're bankrupt, and that's why this is all going to come to an end. So the big question is who's going to pick up the pieces now, and who's going to lead the charge away from the drift where we have gone to, you know, in the last really 100 years, whether it's foreign policy or monetary policy, IRS, and the Fed, and all these things have gone on for a long time. But I think it's coming to an end. And,
yes, sir.
And that's why what we're doing now, all of us, you know, is so important. I think their failures are going to speak for themselves. It's going to be their failures are shouting out very loud about how poorly their ideas are working.
We've only got about 4 minutes left with you, sir, so I want to move quickly here. Obviously, when you say he may well walk away with it, you are within striking distance. If we can just expose the hoax that is Rick Perry and then the other minion, Mitt Romney, you are going to have it, sir. And it's perfect timing. You're the man of the hour. God has literally, you know, given you to us that you've been right all these years, never compromised, right as America's collapsing. Here you are with the constitutional, tried and true, common sense solutions. But if you do lose, you still win by educating people. You say that you're going to go home after this when your term is up. If you don't win the presidency, and leave, sir, are you still going to write and speak?
Oh, I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't do that. I've always thought that I've always done the same thing, whether I'm in office or out of office or whatever, and the goals have always been the same. The elected position has generally been secondary. But the one thing is, if you're in the business of trying to change the course of a country, you can do a much better job if you're in office. And obviously, you know, as president, I can do a much better job than if I'm just looking for a format and wondering where I'll go next. So, it's more or less out of my hands. I just do what I have to do, and we'll see how things come out.
So we'll still be able to have you pop in from time to time, even if you do retire.
I'm going to be around.
You are awesome, sir. Final questions here, because you know, this is why I know you're so real, not just that you don't compromise and not just your perfect constitutional voting record. I hope everybody gets behind you. Campaign for Liberty as well, with all the other great candidates. Donate at ronpaul2012.com. Knock on doors. Get involved in your party precincts. Become a delegate. Ron Paul can win and will win if we get behind him. He's put his hat in the ring and is pouring his heart and soul out. It's up to us to get behind Ron Paul or wish later by gnashing our teeth that we would have. But, sir, in closing, last year at a Campaign for Liberty event, you talked about a coup in America. You said the CIA's been caught shipping drugs in. We've had a coup in America. I want you to specifically, because I get a lot of questions about that to this day, what you exactly meant by that.
I imagine if you pin me down, the literal sense of what a coup generally is, probably not quite that, but for the CIA to really be running the show, I was referring to the CIA at the time, because it's so secretive, it's somewhat like the secrets of the Federal Reserve in finances, it's so hard to find out what's going on, but the CIA is involved in war. They are involved in military activities. activity. They pick targets from Langley in Alexandria, you know, in Virginia. They can shoot missiles to any spot in the world, generally killing a lot of people they shouldn't be killing and missing the ones they're trying to target. So therefore, it is totally secret. This is even out of, you know, out of the realm of what Obama does when he says, well, I'm going in and I'm just going to be with NATO and I'm going to start bombing Libya. I think this is very serious. And now we have the DOD person, Petraeus, going over to the CIA, and then the CIA head going over to the military. It's such a mixed deal that we don't know exactly what's happening, but I know the CIA has been involved in so many elections around the world. They pick and choose dictators. I'm sure they're in, I don't think there's any doubt, they're very much involved in these revolutions going on in the Mediterranean, and we're just out trying to pick dictators. So I just don't like all this secrecy and government out of the control the people who are responsible.
Well, Congressman, we've got to let you go. I want to ask you one last question and just remind folks to get behind RonPaul2012.com. Speaking of FEMA, you've been criticized for saying we don't need FEMA, but all they do is confiscate guns at Katrina. That's really not the federal government's job, I guess. But you were asked by reporter Robert Wanick a few weeks ago in Iowa about the H.R. 645 National Emergency Centers Establishment Act, and you said, yeah, that's their goal. They're setting up the stage for violence in this country, no doubt about it, responded Paul. Sir, in conclusion, what did you mean by that? Who are they?
Well, I'm not even sure I recall that exact conversation, but, you know, the FEMA's in charge of all emergencies, so whether it's a natural disaster or whatever, they're in charge of our land. They're land planners. They're economic planners, and they're planning for any provision, and I think the establishment, the people in Washington, both Republicans and Democrats, know history just like we do, that you can have a breakdown of law and order. So the people, unfortunately, will be begging for a stabilization, and they'll be inviting the federal government to come in to stabilize things. So I think they're making plans along those lines to how they take care of a problem when there's a breakdown of law and order.
And they'd like that power grab.
That's their goal. It's all about power.
Congressman Ron Paul, RonPaul2012.com, sir. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Okay, Alex. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. There goes Congressman Ron Paul, ladies and gentlemen. And I always feel guilty when I call up and get him on the show because I happen to know how hard he's working. But there he was, and that was definitely a powerful interview. Wow, that is the real deal. Perfect constitutional voting record. You claim you're an American, you claim you stand for America, that's it. In fact, I really have to agree. I admire Ron Paul more than anybody else out there alive, unless you're talking about my dad or somebody or my grandpa's. But politically, he's it. And if you want founding father material, who was it? Lou Rockwell said, we haven't had something like this since the time of Jefferson. He has never compromised. He works 18 hours a day, admittedly sleeping less than 6 hours. He might take off, I've been told by a lot of folks that know him more than I, 1.5, maybe 2 days a month. All the rest of the time, stoic research, radio interviews. All he does is exercise for 1 hour in the morning. He doesn't even hardly eat anything. I've been at events with Ron Paul's. He doesn't eat. He barely sleeps. And you can see it in his face. You've got to pray for that guy. I mean, that's why he gets demonized and attacked. And the COINTELPRO says he's not real. You're not real. You're scum. You're filth. You work for the globalist. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
For 6 years. That's right. Before we knew the name of the secret federal program to train Los Zetas at Fort Benning, Georgia, then have them engage in a fake defection, forming their own border drug cartel. Shelley Castile and many other sources here in Texas, Shelley Castile, of course, retired DEA agent, had said that a coming war over narcotics and the $500 billion coming in a year, most of it through Mexico, heroin and cocaine, that there would be a war over that $500 billion. And that, well, just 3 years ago, that Los Zetas had tried to recruit him to train people near the King Ranch down by Kingsville, Texas. And now it's all happened. And at first, ATF agents began to blow the whistle about the fact that they were basically ordering gun shops to let certain key people come in and buy masses of firearms to then take them into Mexico. Now we've learned, and this has come out in federal court in Chicago, it's been reported on by the Chicago Tribune and the El Paso Times. Of course, Paul Watson saw it in the Federal Record months ago before they even covered it. Proud of our work at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Now it has come out that indeed they were shipping the guns directly to the drug cartels, not just in Mexico, but in Miami, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Los Angeles, California, and other cities. And how did all this happen? The rats began to bite at each other. The head of the ATF, 3 months ago, was caught perjuring himself before Congress, and ATF agents who he was hanging out to dry released the orders, the documents, the memos, and the emails ordering them to do this. He was trying to deny it. Then he came out and said, okay, I was ordered to by Eric Holder, the head of the Justice Department, the Attorney General. And then he said, here's more documents. Don't blame me. The FBI and DEA were involved. Well, now that's all mainstream news. DEA, FBI, ATF shipping guns to Honduras, to Mexico, and to drug gangs in major cities, major distribution points, Chicago, Miami, Los Angeles, and now it's coming out that the same thing was going on in areas of New Mexico, Texas. We're learning more every day. What a window into the fact that this federal government is gangster at the top and has put its gangsters in most of the high-level and mid-level positions and are now trying to purge good people. Now, it gives me some faith in America that we can still turn this around, that it was ATF agents, five of them, some of them mid-level, senior in their area, that said, we're not going to be part of this, and leaked the information and then went public. They were either fired or demoted. And, of course, it came out 2 weeks ago, as the Attorney General tries to cover this up, that the supervisors that blocked the information and threatened reprisals, they, of course, the LA Times reported, have now been given raises and elevated to the national level with cush desk jobs now. So this is a criminal mafia that, A, wanted to get guns to cartels trained by the Pentagon to consolidate the flow of drugs into the United States through Mexico and also out of Central and South America, we now learn. That's mainstream news. A month ago came out. Now, continuing. Domestically, it had the added goody of blaming the Second Amendment. And I saw Holder 2 years ago saying, we've got to pass gun laws. We've got to ban assault weapons. We've got to restrict, you know, buying more than one gun because of the violence in Mexico. And then even after he got caught, he rolled out, as you know, about a month and a half ago and went ahead and said, I don't need a stinking law. Congress wouldn't pass this law. They tried to pass it. So now in four states, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. Wait, is Nevada involved? Is it five? No, it's four. In those four states, they now, outside of law, do whatever the ATF says. And they're going to people that go in and buy a high-powered rifle or buy 1,000 rounds of ammo. I see it in the news every day. They're then being ATF visited or even SWAT teamed, and I'll see it in the news. Man had 27 guns and 4,000 rounds of ammo, and they'll have neighbors saying, it's so frightening. And it's, you know, the retired veteran has been arrested. In fact, I was mailed one of these. Dude pointed it out to me this morning. The Orleans County Record out of Massachusetts, right up there on our northern border. And it says, firearms seized. And it says, ATF take guns from former police officer who has no criminal record, retired. He ran for sheriff, almost won, but didn't won, Mr. Chiotti. And he's been a gun dealer for many years. That's why he quit being a cop, so he can make money and, you know, sell guns. He's a registered federal firearms dealer. And they say right here they confiscated his firearms, and they say there's no charges, and that they're just taking them, and that's the end of it. So we're going to work on getting him on. It says above, Sergeant David Peterson, a member of the Vermont State Police Bomb Squad, left to assist U.S. alcohol, tobacco, and firearms agents at the home of the individual below. The home in St. Jonesbury below. A basket of firearms sits on the porch. Oh, there's a bucket of them, and there was a couple dozen rifles. My God, that's horrible. What am I supposed to do? I mean, I've got granddaddy's firearms. I've got firearms my dad bought me when I was a kid and a teenager. Got the first 410 shotgun he bought me. I've got the guns. I mean, am I evil? I've got thousands and thousands of rounds of ammo. That's how you buy it inexpensively, so you can target shoot and protect yourself. I mean, I see this all the time. Every couple days, it's almost always the same type of headline. And it's in Maryland, Illinois, California, even Florida, Texas. I see it everywhere. Neighbors saw Mr. Johnson, Mr. Brown, in his garage with a firearm and called police. And it's always the same. In some cases, it's gunsmiths. You got the old guy's wife's in there watching TV or cooking dinner. It's almost always a veteran. No criminal record. He can skin a buck. He can run a trot line. They almost always live in some rural subdivision. It's always just, you know, that type of person. And it's always the same story. They're seen, I've interviewed many of them, they're seen in their garage cleaning a rifle or working on one for a neighbor. And somebody walks their dogs, they see some guns lined up there in the little workshop, and they call the cops. Cops come, they go ahead and arrest them, they go ahead and take their guns, and in some cases they go to jail. They call it an arsenal. And then I go look up the state law, there's no law. And you're like, well, how do they go to jail? Well, how are people getting 5-year, 12-year sentences or charged life in prison in Illinois for videotaping police on the public street? How do they take children every day for not taking vaccines? There's no law. How did the U.S. government sterilize 500,000 plus people up until the mid-1980s? Under the eugenics courts. They're not real courts. And they'll grab you off the street and cut your uterus out or lop your testicles off. People email me going, that's not what they did in sterilizations. Yes. Yes, they did it as medical experiments. They would have medical students come in generally from the 20s right through the 80s. I've interviewed the people. It's been all over the news. And they'll just lop it off. This is what America is, okay? Hardcore narcotics trafficking, gun dealing, child kidnapping, gangs of murderers that run the government. Right next to compartmentalized ATF, FBI, sheriff's deputies that are changing old ladies' tires and going to domestic disputes and going to horrible car wrecks and standing out in 110-degree heat radar gunning people to raise money for the system. And you've got totally, generally blind, well-meaning, break-their-back-for-America cops right next to their bosses who are narcotics trafficking killers. And everything with the New World Order is about hoaxes, and it's about compartmentalization.
This is my song to the Most High, who created all life on earth, like the birds that fly, the sweet air we breathe, all the plants and trees, the sun, and they planted in the galaxy. Yo, they feeding us books with all these books. We didn't ask to be here, we got took and enslaved and killed. We was raped and hung. We was lied to and forced to build America. Robbed of our technology and knowledge of self. The black man is the original man of this earth. We can live under the sun and give us strength. The white man gets sunburned and cancer of the skin. I got a lot of white friends. I'm not a racist. I acknowledge the Most High. I'm not an atheist. I just see through the bullshit and speak my mind. They terrified of my words, so they censor my rhymes. Good Lord, I'm crying out to you. Have mercy on the slave masses' souls. They did us dirty. They don't give a fuck about their own poor white trash. Just imagine how they feel about my black bitch. Christopher Columbus, the Indians was here first. The Vatican, the pyramids is older. Shut off the nose and the lips of our statues. Mad it was black faces staring back at you. We even built pyramids on Mars. They won't tell us about that, cause then we realize who we are. When I wrote Pearly Gates, they said I hated God. So I wrote this song for the creator, the all.
Prodigy of Mobb Deep is our guest for another 45 minutes or so. Then we're going to get a pop-in from Mike Adams on the police and the feds raiding folks selling mangoes, papayas, other evil things like raw milk, cheese, and they got them on $120,000 bond each. Public store, again, to be technical, I bought food at another store this weekend, but my wife went to Whole Foods and got the raw milk cheese. It's our favorite. We've been buying it for a couple of years. Now that it's available, it tastes completely different. So are they going to raid Whole Foods here in Austin? I mean, this is incredible stuff, so that's coming up. Now, following this, where's the stock market right now? Because, guys, I know it's plunging as we speak. Dow plunges 350 points on total fear and is still dropping. The dollar's dropping. Gold has blasted up to, what is it, 1,680 something? Now, give me the latest on that. It's all moving up quick because they're globally devaluing the dollar. They're talking about tax increases and super Congress. This is a tax increase to devalue your money. And if you're wealthy, it's going to hurt you. If you're middle class, it's going to hurt you really bad. And if you're poor, you're in trouble because the wages aren't going up, but what you can buy with that money's going down. My grandma and her Social Security, she worked at a print shop till she was 70-something years old. And my grandma can't basically live without us helping her. Okay, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think about what's happening. This is bondage. This is bondage. The globalists are destroying the world economy, their carbon taxes, all of it. We're going to be breaking it down. Going back to Prodigy of Mobb Deep, a legendary Grammy Award-winning rapper, who goes right back to the start of all the big superstars we have today. He was getting into his awakening, and he started to, you'd gotten to the point of talking to folks selling books on the street. Please continue.
Yeah, so there was this guy named Dr. Evo. You know, he had a community in Brooklyn called the Ansar Law Community. And basically, he had his people out on the street selling books and the Muslim oils and different things like that, like incense and stuff like that. So I used to stop at the table to pick up this coconut oil because I liked how it smelled, you know, because the girls liked it. So at the table, they would sell these books written by Dr. York. You know what I mean? And there was a book. They were, the first books that I read were books on, like, the holidays. One book was about Christmas. One was about Easter. And it showed, like, the origin of these pagan, you know, evil holidays. So I picked it up, and I was like, what the hell is this? Because they had one, the Christmas book had the Santa Claus looking like Satan on the cover. So it was just, like, strange. I never saw nothing like that before. You know, I was only, like, 16. So I picked up the book, and I started getting into it, and I started learning who Dr. York is and what he's about and the stuff that he teaches. And then I started reading a lot of his books. And I realized that, you know, this dude was basically teaching, you know, people, especially black people, you know, about our origin and where we come from and how we, you know, we have a great history in this world and how we were, like, basically brainwashed, you know, and soul washed of all of our history and of who we are and everything.
Well, that's right. If you go back to Roman times, no one looked at and said black men were inferior. I mean, that wasn't even, you know, debated or discussed. And you can lay out your historical review. But what really, from my research, you go back 500 years ago, they wanted to start this transatlantic slave trade, and they had indentured servants who were white in Europe, but they said, hey, we can use Bible passages and distort them, dealing with Ham and Cain and Abel, and say that these people deserve to be slaves, and it actually took some selling, but because the sailors themselves from Europe were mainly pressed and slaves on the ships, if you actually research it, I mean, most of them were captured and put on the ships to run them. That's why there were so many people breaking off and becoming pirates. That then they sold that idea, and that really is an idea that didn't exist till what, 500 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they flipped it, and a lot of the Bible, so-called Bible stories and all that, or whatever. So, you know, Dr. York was just putting it out there, you know what I mean, and really, you know, exposing it to the world, you know, and sharing the information with everybody and accepting everybody also. You know, no matter what color you are, no matter what race you are, he was teaching that this is information that needs to be, you know, just that needs to be put out there, needs to be learned.
Sure. When did you start learning about the Illuminati? Because you told me you've seen the Obama deception, you know, the radio show. I said, well, what's your favorite clip? And you said the Bohemian Grove, the David Gergen situation.
Yeah. I mean, through his books, you know, through Doc books, that's how I learned about it. That's how I bumped into it. Because, you know, it all coincides with each other. You know what I mean? Once you start learning the origin of things and you start learning, you know, the background and things, what's going on, you're going to stumble on this word Illuminati, and you're going to stumble on, you know, the whole diabolical plan and the whole grand scheme of things of what's happening, you know what I mean? So that's how I bumped into it. And then, you know, later on, years down the line, you know, I started doing research to make, this is too unbelievable, the information that I was learning. It was, like, too incredible. You know what I mean? So it forces you to do your own research. It forces you, like back then, it wasn't no internet when I was growing up. You know what I mean? So I had to go to the library, you know what I mean, and check books out.
That's what I did, the exact same thing. So you've been awake for close to 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, I've been learning ever since I was like 16. I've been learning, doing research. So, you know, I'm 36 now, you know what I mean? So that's about, 20 years, you know what I mean? I've been really doing my research, you know what I mean, and studying this whole thing. You know, so I started in the libraries, finding old books and just, passing around information that used to get passed around the street, like different VHS videotapes that a lot of the people that I knew in the street life, like a lot of my criminal friends, you know, they weren't all just, just dumb criminals running around. A lot of them were very intelligent, you know what I mean? A lot of them...
Well, that's the economy, like they say in The Godfather, that for 100 years, they've been shipping the illegal contraband into those black neighborhoods to make that the zone where it was acceptable. So people say, oh, look, these people are criminals. Well, the point is, that's the economy that was set up there by the system.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. And it's a stereotypical thing that people look at us like, whatever, he's just a... or whatever, you know what I mean? But anyway, a lot of my friends, you know what I mean, we would pass around information to each other, videotapes of like, I think it was called Illuminati 2000, it was this crazy show that we used to watch, and it had, I forget the guy's names on there.
Anthony Hilder?
Yeah, exactly. Anthony Hilder and the other guy with the glasses.
Jed Gunderson, he just died over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Jordan Maxwell.
Oh, yeah.
They used to be on those tapes a lot with Anthony Hilder. So we used to watch those. We used to pass them around. And this is how we got more into it. We like, damn, I started seeing these tapes. I'm like, hold up. This is the same thing that Dr. York was talking about. So I started, the dots started connecting. You know what I mean? When the internet came around, I would research all the things that I was learning from Hilder, Maxwell, York, and from everybody, and then I bumped into you, your information, you know, Alex Jones. And I'm like, well, everybody is saying the same thing.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Every economic expert we had on, we have the experts on who are right, not the ones that lie. Mainstream ones aren't dumb. They're lying to you. We told you the dollar was going to plunge, gold was going to explode, and the Dow was going to plunge as soon as they upped the debt limit. We're being maneuvered into financial slavery. The Dow's down 350 points, plunging. Total fear is the CNN headline. We're going to be getting into some more of this news throughout the hour, obviously, as it develops. This is all part of an orchestrated program. And no puppet, George Bush, Barack Obama, or Mitt Romney is going to save you. It's the Federal Reserve or us. It's the king, dragon rulers of this system. They have to come down, not their puppets. Now, prodigy of Mobb Deep, legendary icon of hip-hop and rap, is our guest, really exposing the Illuminati program. And we were getting into folks, you know, coming to him and saying, we're trying to wake up, you know, folks, and they're not listening. It's because they're following a false mirage, a false culture sold to them by the social engineers. But the good news is we're beginning to break through. And one of the most common questions I get is, get Prodigy on. You know, he's talking about stuff you're talking about. So here he is, sir. And you got cut off by the break. This is a short segment. You're talking about people have to want it. And then let's get into your view on the Illuminati and who's running this system.
Yeah, so, you know, like I was saying, you know, it's hard to get people to listen and to get people to want to change. They got to want that change on their own. That'll never happen. You can't force somebody to want to change their life and change their way of thinking to understand what's really going on, that they've been manipulated. Their parents and their grandparents have been manipulated. You know, it's hard to break somebody out of that spell, you know, and that way of thinking and their belief system. You know what I mean? Because they're in a comfortable space where, you know, it just shatters their whole entire world, like, and their way of thinking. It hurts too much. It's way too comfortable for them to just stay the way they are. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like Neo in The Matrix when Morpheus gives him the red pill and he goes, look, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's a difficult thing, you know, and I found that real challenging, you know what I mean, growing up and you know, dealing with the environment that I come from, you know, that street world where, you know, it's a lot of knuckleheads, you know what I mean? It's real difficult to reach them, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I had to learn the hard way that, you know, I just sit back and the people that are around me that notice what I'm all about and the things that I learn and, you know, the things that I put in my music a lot. And those that want that change in their life, they'll come to me. I don't even have to find them. You know what I mean?
How did you begin to awaken?
I mean, it was about 1989. You know, I went to high school in Manhattan. I went to Art and Design where I met my music partner, Havoc. You know what I mean? And back then they used to have these tables out in the street on random corners in like Queens and Manhattan, Bronx and Brooklyn, all the five boroughs or whatever. And they used to have these tables and it was like Muslim guys selling books. You know what I mean? Or they looked like they were Muslim to me. You know what I mean? Because they had on the garb, the hats and the whole get up or whatever. So I used to stop at the tables and I used to buy this coconut oil because it smelled. I like how it smelled. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
stay there. Let's come back. We've got Prodigy of Mobb Deep on with us right now. Long segment. coming up. And also, Prodigy, when we come back, let's plug all your websites and things. There's so many of them. I'm going to make sure I get the right ones out, so we'll drop those on people. On the other side, I'm Alex Jones. This is the Genesis Network, GCNLive.com. All Hades is breaking loose right now in the economy. Everything is proceeding as the globalists have foreseen it.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We are back live. Colonel Anthony Schaefer is our guest. We're going to be talking to him here in just a moment. Don't forget, coming up starting tomorrow night, it's quite a commitment, but we're making it because we're reaching so many millions of people. I kick off InfoWars Nightly News, September 1st, 2011. So starting tomorrow night, every weeknight, 7 p.m., at least a 30-minute news transmission of condensed, focused, hard-hitting analysis and special reports. And many nights, we're going to have expanded special reports after the news, live interviews, the premieres of documentaries, all of it at PrisonPlanet.tv. And either later in the show today or tomorrow, I'm going to unveil some new features at PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, please join today. It's 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month, or get 3 months free when you sign up for a year, and truly support the tip of the spear in the alternative media's attempt to awaken this country and the planet to the global crime syndicate so that we can turn the tide and restore our republic and push what I call 1776 worldwide. The ideas of true liberty as enshrined by people like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, to take the true ideas of liberty and to promote that on a planetary scale. So we are one day, 7 hours, 25 minutes, 6 seconds away from the launch of the InfoWars Nightly News. And so much more is going to come out of that, obviously, because you've been supporting us over the years. But if you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, today is the day. Now, Congressman Ron Paul is scheduled to join us coming up in about exactly an hour from now, like a little under an hour. He's scheduled to join us to talk about the campaign and a host of other very important issues. I'm going to get into the dangerous Gardasil shot. The Mexican government says they're going to inject every girl in their population, starting with all the nine-year-olds. And they're implying it's going to be forced, though they don't even have that authority, just like here in the U.S. they don't. But it started with Rick Perry saying it was the law and you had to. He's now apologized for that. A day late, a dollar short, and a lot of dead girls behind him. Lou Rockwell called it criminal and called him a dirty criminal for it. I agree with that. Ron Paul's former campaign manager has a lot of courage. Stand up against these monsters. Rick Perry, it's also now come out, praised Hillary Clinton in speeches and in letters in 1993 and supported Hillary Care, even more socialistic than Obamacare. Now, joining us with very important breakdown of Libya, Syria, terror threats, and other issues is Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, U.S. Army, who gained fame for his reports about the situation with the September 11th attacks and the fact that the military in many areas was basically told to stand down. And he joins us now to break down the latest geopolitical developments. OperationDarkHeart.com is where you can find his latest best-selling book. It's good to have you here with us today, Colonel.
Well, thanks for having me, Alex. Good to be back on with you. It's been a while.
Absolutely. So much is happening. I've got my questions, but out of the gates, what B is under your saddle?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up the whole Libya thing, and this is one of the peculiar things where I think we are just totally out to lunch on what's really going on, I think, and we being the American public, for two reasons. First, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's been there's a meeting in Paris this week with businesses, global businesses, and a lot of the Libyan rebels looking at how to carve up the outcome of the Libyan conflict. And keep in mind, we don't even have a constitution there yet. You've got folks already trying to make business deals with the rebels, and of course, we don't even know who's doing what. So, you know, when you look at that fact, and you look at the fact that we've spent $1 billion, and I know that in terms of the budget, it's not significant, but, you know, $1 billion would go a long way to fix a lot of bridges, make a lot of railroads, and relieve a lot of folks who are having a hard time with the economy right now. So this has all been done in the name of the White House. And I was just over talking to some staff, some congressional staff on this very issue last week. Alex, the Congress has never received a single report on what the Pentagon is doing, who they're giving the intel to. And according to the Pentagon in their most recent reports from last week, they have given 60 to 70% of the intel, which has driven the NATO attacks against rebel targets or against Gaddafi's targets. Well, who exactly authorized this? Because Congress never did this. And most strikingly, and I've been talking to Bruce Fine. Bruce, you might know, wrote a lot of books on Constitution. He's a constitutional lawyer. Stated without any equivocation that the president is now in violation of something called the Anti-Deficiencies Act. And that's within Title 31 of the U.S. Code, which basically says if Congress gives you money to do something, you cannot arbitrarily decide you're going to do something else with it. In the case of Libya, there's been no obligation or approval of any obligation for funds to go against a Libyan conflict. So, and no matter who you are, right or left, we should all be concerned about the fact that there is no interest in following what I think most would argue the rule of law and a constitutional basis that requires, a give and take, an oversight system within our government.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Colonel. That was actually one of the things I wanted to raise. Ron Paul, of course, is called the constitutional lawyer, Mr. Fine, the top constitutional lawyer in the country. He's been on this show and said this is impeachable. It's completely unconstitutional. I know you're still in the military, so you obviously can't go that far. But when Congress went to Obama 4.5 months ago and said, look, we'll give you the money and the authority, but you've got to go to us, he said and put a letter out and said, I don't need Congress. I have the UN, and I'm doing this, quote, for the credibility of the UN. And it does add incredible credibility. It says our president takes his orders from them. I mean, the Congress makes war, as you know. You're a commissioned officer. Right. Congress gives the orders. The president then executes it as the executive. But the board of directors, who are elected by us, is the House, is the Senate.
Right.
We now have a super Congress. Now the spending and cutting bills don't come from House members. It just comes from a 12-member super committee with the president, the 13th head. I mean, so this is a constitutional crisis. But you just brought up something that I didn't even know. I saw a blur, but I'd forgotten to cover. So I guess, for lack of a better term, I didn't know because I never covered it. You know, if a tree falls and nobody hears it, it didn't make a sound. And that's that Congress isn't even being given intelligence on this giant North African operation. That's incredible.
Right, and I think the American public needs to really take notice of this. And again, the person I talked to is actually his member. He works for is a member of the House Armed Services Committee. Who should be briefed, and this is where there's huge problems. And it's not, and again, like you mentioned, Alex, it's not like the president wouldn't have gotten authorization or wouldn't have gotten money. He just chose to not to deal with it and say what I'm doing is not a war. Now think about the logic here that he's using, because by President Obama's logic and the way they're approaching this, you could use a nuclear weapon on a country and say, oh, it's not really a war, because we didn't have boots on the ground. So that's how insane the premise of the policy is, that you could actually use an incredible amount of deadly force against any given target on the planet and basically say, it's not really a war because we didn't put boots on the ground.
Well, Colonel, this is Caesar crossing the Rubicon that led to the end of the Roman Republic, and Obama's lawyers know exactly what they're doing. The Pentagon lawyers, as you know, came to him and said, you can't do this.
Right.
And he said, I'll do whatever I want. So this is brazen and being consciously done. Talking to other military brass who you speak with, are they concerned about this?
Yeah, I've spoken to several retired generals who have worked in a variety of administrations. And you might find this ironic, but one of the administrations which I was told had the greatest interest in listening to generals was actually President Clinton. Clinton would actually bring folks in and talk to them if they disagreed with policy. From what I'm hearing, Alex, that's not going on now. It essentially is a send mode only. Basically, you take the policy, you try to figure it out, and you move forward with it, and that's about it. And if you have concerns, then the concerns are really not welcome. And this is a dangerous trend because we as officers are trained to give our best judgment. And if our judgment is it's not a good idea, we need to be able to tell you that. And we're not telling you to be disloyal. We're telling you because there's reasons why you need to be cautious.
Well, it's more than dangerous. It is absolute 100% tyranny. It is 200 proof evil. And you know, if a president's crazy and doesn't want to listen to the military, that's one thing. He is the commander in chief, but he's only the commander in chief once Congress gives him the green light to execute their declaration of war or their authorization to use force, as you know.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
This is a complete departure from the Constitution, and we're seeing it on the power of the purse. We're seeing them implement gun control regulations outside of law. We're seeing it done with carbon taxes, with power plants. We're seeing health care law selectively enforced. This, for all intents and purposes, has transitioned into what you could call a dictatorship, a stealth dictatorship, but nonetheless a dictatorship.
My concern here is, as you mentioned, Alex, there's things in the American public's domain that they can see this. First off, you know, I don't care how you feel about the Protection of Marriage Act, but the idea is, if it's a law, I'd say the Justice Department is obligated to enforce that law, to include going and fighting for it in court. And that's one of the things that the Obama administration just said, you know, we don't like this, we're not going to enforce it. On the military side, your points are super well taken. I've spoken, I don't know if you all knew that, you knew this, I debated Representative Paul on the John Stossel show about 3 months ago, and 4 months ago in March, and we talked about a lot of these same issues, and he and I agree on a great number of issues, and one of which is the constitutionality, the need of Congress to actually do its duties. And the two things that Congress must do, especially the House, only the House can do the basically put together bills which appropriate money.
That's spending bills begin in the House. It's law.
And it's got to stay like that. This whole idea of a super committee, and I've heard Representative Paul say this, he doesn't see where there's any legal constitutional grounds for this super committee to exist. And I got to tell you, I've talked to Bruce Fine. Bruce says the same thing. It's just, there's just nothing there that allows this to happen. And the other point, obviously, is whenever you spend money, you've got to have clear and compelling justification to do that. And I just don't think we're getting our money's worth regarding that. And when we look at this, Alex, one of the things I'd like to bring up as an oversight issue is the fact that any time, and let's look at this from the macro to the micro, and our big scheme of things, we use military force, deadly force, all the time as a tool of national will. And when you look at the micro, when you look at a policeman on the street having to do something to support a law, anytime he uses deadly force, there's an investigation. There's basically a full review process that says, was this officer justified in using military, you know, deadly force? Well, the problem is we never look at the national equivalent of an officer using deadly force. We constantly use military operations, military capabilities, without understanding three things. First, was it legal? Was it the right call to make based on the intel? I think we would all agree that despite what Vice President Cheney says now, I don't believe the intel was ever there to justify an Iraqi invasion. And I was on the inside at the time. This stuff they're talking about now, I never saw. I didn't. Saddam Hussein was never, quote-unquote, a proliferator of weapons. He may have been interested, but he wasn't proliferating. So you got to look at the intel. Second thing, you got to figure out that if the intel justified your actions, did you create the appropriate response to the threat? And third and most importantly, what is the outcome? Did your use of military force achieve a specific goal or objective that is in the best interest of our nation's policy? You know, is this what we should do? And so if it's good enough for a beat cop to be looked at with a great deal of scrutiny for using deadly force, I don't know why we don't do it at the national level.
Well, continuing, it's always in every case in history, as you know, as a military officer who studied history, when leaders start amassing all the power into themselves, especially the power of the purse and the power of force, that is when the big alarms go off. And I'll just say it. If you read the definition of treason and then high treason, it is working with a foreign power to undermine the system of government of the nation of which you serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basic definition of not just treason, but high treason. Because high treason is if you're in a position of power and trust and have sworn an oath and you lower the drawbridge for the enemy to come in. Now, Obama says to Congress, when they sue him, when they rebuff him, when everything, and when they offer him the money and the power, when it's because that's their job, he says, I don't need you, puts a letter out saying, I do this for the credibility of the UN. I'm sorry. That is not only treason, it is the definition of high treason to undermine the legitimate government and transfer the power through fraud to a foreign entity away from the elected government of the republic. As you said, he could use nuclear weapons now and say the UN told him to.
Right.
There, I mean, it's even worse. If he was power grabbing, he would still be an American dictator, and it would be treasonous. Now he's doing it and saying, "I do it under a foreign entity's auspices." If this is not high treason, nothing is.
Well, and that's the thing that I've heard several of the congressmen talk about the issues. Representative Kucinich has talked about this, and as you know, several congressmen have actually sued President Obama over the very issues you're talking about. There's now court action saying President Obama has failed to support the requirements of his office relating to war powers and things of that nature. So what I'm concerned about is that the American public doesn't seem to be looking at this with any sort of fervor. I mean, the fact that we have, and I don't care how they argue the fact that we've only got aircraft involved. And frankly, between you and me, Alex, I've heard that we've got guys on the ground doing things to support the
rebels. I've talked to the Army soldiers by name.
Yeah,
there's at least 50 dead U.S. Army alone that have been brought into the receiving center in the last 4.5 months. There's special forces all over the place commanding the jihadis.
And so this is the deal. I don't understand why the American people are the only ones who are being kind of kept in the dark here. I mean, everybody, you know, one of my sources was a foreign national who told me about boots on the ground being there in Libya. Now imagine this, a foreign national, a former Libyan senior official tells me that he knows we got boots on the ground. So apparently the joke's on the American people because they're the only ones who are not being told the full truth about what's going on. And again, you know, we should have a debate about any use of our national capabilities, be that military, be that the State Department. I mean,
yes, sir, but let me interrupt you and just get right to the heart of that, because I want to come back and hit a few other issues with you, but I'm glad you brought this up. I understand you're a commissioned officer, you still serve, and so obviously you're not going to say it's treason or high treason, but you come back and say it's up to the American people to wake up and start having a debate about this. I don't hear you disagreeing. I just want listeners to understand, this is happening in plain view, and
right.
If the government gets away with this, if the executive gets away with this, then the sky is the limit. Your comment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen this on several issues relating to how the government is amassing power, and in this case, the executive branch primarily. The sad truth is this: Congress has to be the thing that says enough is enough. And this is where I just don't understand how we don't have a Congress actually drawing the line in the sand saying, this far, if you go this far, we're going to have to do something to impede. You know, to me, this is far worse. Some of the amassing of power and ignoring of constitutional requirements is worse than the Paula Jones scandal in many ways.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's endorsing pilfering women, but at the end of the day, this affects us all. Colonel Schaefer, please stay there. I want to come back and get into L.A. Times, you name it, confirming that the core leaders and the folks that have taken Tripoli are bona fide real al-Qaeda that have been killing Americans in Iraq. They brag about it. We'll get your view on that on the other side. Stay with us.
At the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out.
I won't back down.
And I won't back down.
Well, we've been covering since last Friday the second armed SWAT team raid on one of the few American companies engaged in fine craftsmanship, and that, of course, is Gibson Guitar, that I know a lot of my friends and family dearly love, and their classic Les Pauls. And they've been raided a few years ago. Won't tell them why. Been raided again. And now they're learning it doesn't matter if they get the wood legally or lawfully. Now the police are saying, hey, we may start raiding musicians' homes. When you try to travel out of the country, it doesn't matter if it's a 50-year-old guitar. They're taking it, but not just Gibsons. Now they're talking about guns with the wood that's on them. If you can't prove that it's not some endangered wood from a foreign country, it's gone. Your furniture. The whole police state system wants to expand, and you've seen the Green Police ads on TV where they're arresting folks for light bulbs. Actually, in Australia, they do home inspections and are talking about arresting people if you've got a crack in your window. This is the total takeover of society, and Henry Juskowitz is the CEO of Gibson, and here's one of their press releases. Gibson says wood is illegal if U.S. workers produce it. Continuing here, guitar frets, environmental enforcement leaves musicians in fear. I saw an Atlantic article where they had the headline, how do you turn musicians into tea partiers? Take their guitars. Gibson Guitar CEO raided by feds to cost company $2 to $3 million. Here's another one breaking it down. CEO of Gibson Guitar, a Republican donor, Democrat competitor, uses same wood. Just like Obama's contributors are exempt from having to have the government-run health care, which is an unfair trade advantage. Just like General Electric's power plants are exempt from the new carbon taxes. Joining us again is the CEO, and I appreciate him coming on. Mr. Juskowitz, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, so much has happened. I saw your press conference, and it seems like you're really informed. You've got the floor. Tell us exactly what's happened.
Well, it was a normal day, and, you know, it started normally. We were producing guitars, and, very early in the morning, we had something like 20 to 30 armed SWAT-like agents descend on three of our manufacturing plants and our corporate headquarters. They evacuated all the employees, several hundred people, respectively, into parking lots and streets, shut down the manufacturing facilities, started pouring through them, confiscating raw materials in the manufacturing facilities, paperwork. Started grabbing some hard drives, copying, imaging hard drives, and generally shutting down our business.
Do you think that this could be political sabotage or espionage? Because it's been confirmed that General Motors franchises in Minnesota and other areas, when they nationalized General Motors, that people that weren't Democratic Party donors, that they had their franchise taken away and given to others. You heard me, sir, just mention the fact that 2,000-plus big companies that are donors have been given government health care waivers. We know General Motors has also gotten government bailout money. The same thing with General Electric. Do you think that some of that could be at play here?
I really don't know. I'd hate to say anything without any specific knowledge. But I will say that we are not the only company that is buying Indian rosewood and ebony, which is the issue here. Other competitor companies are indeed buying it and have not been in any way impacted. contacted or otherwise harassed. So the fact that we are uniquely selected definitely makes me suspicious as to why that's the case.
Now, I noticed in your press conference, you talked about some of the acts that sign us on to basically Agenda 21 international law, and that under the Lacey Act and other things, that even if foreign countries change laws retroactively, now you're under that, and that specifically they don't like us buying wood from foreign countries and then working it.
Right. That's the real irony. I mean, we have an outstanding American labor force. We have been hiring people at the very depths of the economic problems. We have hired over 580 American workers, new jobs. We are very successful at exporting products. 60% of our product goes overseas. These are things that normally, you know, countries get pretty excited about, and you're considered a pretty good guy and a good citizen when you cause that to happen. The fact is, the government's position is that it's not about the wood and illegal logging. It's about the labor content in the wood, and the government apparently prefers that labor content be outside the United States. Just kind of a bizarre thing.
Again, we're talking to the CEO of Gibson Guitar. Sir, even Congressman Dennis Kucinich on CNN last night pointed out that the head of the President's Economic Council, the former head of General Electric, is actually getting incentives to move General Electric's X-ray division out of the U.S. As I said, three of our factories were paid for with the bailout of General Motors to move them to Eastern Europe, China, and Brazil. So that is undoubtedly what's happening. The congressman has the headline here, Obama's job czar, expert at creating foreign jobs. Can you speak to that?
Well, all I can say is that this is costing us money. It's making us less competitive, and it will certainly impact, you know, jobs here in the United States. And it's really making me question whether we're valued, in the U.S.
Well, don't let them win, sir. Don't let them run you out to China, because then you've got to go through one of the Chinese generals. And that's why the big cats, fat cats, did this deal decades ago with China. They admit it, where only select operations are allowed to move there. Certainly you can move to Mexico or somewhere else, but I think once you're in their sights, they're going to keep coming after you. I think it's up to the American people, if they want any industry or craftsmanship left in this country, to come to your aid. What can we do to help Gibson Guitar stay open and stay in the United States?
Well, we're hoping that people call their congressmen, their senators, their politicians, and let them know that this is not fair and not right, and to do whatever they can, not only to address the problem we have as Gibson, but I think this is a nationwide problem where we need to address this much broader than just our individual situation. This is happening with other companies in various areas where regulation is creeping in and being applied irrationally and hostily.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
A fictitious nightmare police state scenario. Winston doesn't know what he's being accused of. And of course, in the famous a novel that Kafka wrote, we get the term Kafkaesque, because in the end, he's convicted of a crime and sentenced to death and doesn't even know why he was sentenced to death. And more, we're seeing that people are being sentenced and never even finding out. It's just they're told national security. And I know you were raided a few years ago. You've been raided again. And you can't even find out when you talk to them why you're being raided. I mean, in the Constitution, you have an ability to know what you're being charged with and to face your accuser.
That's right, and it's pretty bizarre to be in our predicament. Not much I can say except it's a nightmare.
We're talking to Henry Juskowitz, the CEO of Gibson Guitar. And, of course, you can go to Gibson.com and see all the latest press releases. Sir, I want to, instead of sitting here asking you questions, I'd like to give you the floor, because in the press conference, I saw a lot of media there, but the audio wasn't too good on the YouTube version. So I'd like to give you the floor here, to really speak about what you think is most important. I would also like to ask you about the armed nature of it, how you were treated like you were criminals instead of working with our industry and saying, hey, you might do this a little bit better. But I noticed that with the vitamin industry, they tried that. And now the government's trying to shut them down. So, unfortunately, they don't want to work with you. And even if you try, they're going to come after you. These are parasites who could care less about our economy or our future. But you've got the floor, sir.
Well, I think you're a lot more eloquent than I am. And all I can say is that in fact, the government is using, drug enforcement, hostile techniques. We are just a guitar factory. We're a small business that's very successful. We're hiring people. We are competing successfully overseas and exporting. And we're talking about, an import and export paperwork issue. That should not, be dealt with people with loaded guns and bulletproof vests, intimidation techniques. We've had hourly employees put into rooms with five or six armed people and interrogated without their attorney present. You're talking about really hostile action. And no one has come to us and said, fellas, here's the problem. We have an issue with this. Let's deal with it. Their first response was SWAT raids with guns, and they shut our business down. They injured us. It was an attack. And we have no recourse. There isn't even a judicial recourse. We are trying to fight this in court, and the government is trying to stay the judicial proceedings so that we can't even fight and get our day in court. So anyway, I think we are being treated unfairly, way disproportionate to any possible cause. I think that their ability to do that, really, we have to think about what that means for our democracy and for other people who could be put in this exact same situation. And so, I ask for reason, and I ask for fairness.
Well, you're not going to get that from the federal Gestapo anymore. They admit they want a post-industrial United States. That's what the whole green tyranny, carbon tax is about. Only their friends are going to be able to operate now in America. Al Gore has said it. They've all stated it. And this is their program. This is the mafia takeover of America. We're talking to Henry Juskowitz, the CEO of Gibson Guitar, a growing American company, 60% foreign. I know Gibson gets more and more popular. They have an entertainment office here in Austin. They're bucking the trend with American craftsmanship, just like Harley Davidson and others. And the system does not like this, and they harass every major American company that is left that's not an insider. But, sir, you brought up something that's the heart of the matter. We've seen raids on dairy farms that sell raw milk to Whole Foods and people legally and raw milk cheese. And they do the same thing. They show up and say, we're going to say all your cows have mad cow and kill all of them unless you sign a form admitting you did something illegal. They just make it up. Or they show up to Amish and he literally put guns to their heads and scream and cuss and say, admit you're guilty. I mean, they're worse than Gestapo. I mean, the Gestapo were polite till they got you to a camp. The ATF had just resigned, caught shipping guns into Mexico, then blamed the Second Amendment here, caught perjuring himself. It turns out the White House ordered it. I think we've got to come to grips with these are really nasty people, or they're going to continue to have the moral high ground. But you mentioned that they got employees in there without their lawyers and began these interrogations. That is unconstitutional. That is official oppression. That is illegal. And I hope that you look to get on the offensive with a civil suit against these people and that organizations come to your aid, sir.
We are looking for every legal remedy and, and we'll go to the Supreme Court if we have to.
Well, I want to say this. We all hang together or we hang separate. You know who said that? Benjamin Franklin.
One of our founding fathers. I don't think our founding fathers had this in mind for their democracy.
Well, our republic is in deep trouble, sir. We're going to break here in a moment. We'll come back and do five more minutes. You've been very gracious with your time. But specifically, what more can you tell us about the getting people in rooms alone with armed green police?
Well, you know, not much more needs to be said. I mean, it was a pretty frightening situation. People didn't know. These were ordinary workers on the factory floor. They were pretty freaked out. And, in addition to that, several of these people in subsequent interrogations by the Justice Department were threatened with 5 years in prison. Well, that may very well be the fact. I mean, they are being threatened the coercive techniques were used and... Fortunately, we have good people here at Gibson, and everyone here is, really feels terrible about this. We all love the company. We've done nothing wrong, and the intimidation isn't working.
These floor workers, they have nothing to do with the importation and working of it. Everybody knows they're totally innocent.
That's right. I mean... I'm the head guy of the company. If they want to come after someone, they should come after management. And, it just really sent chills down my spine for them to go after, normal people that, don't deal with lawyers and they don't have a squad of legal people. And in fact, the company didn't have to support those people. They could have been on their own, if we did support them. We hired independent lawyers for them to protect their own personal interests. But that didn't have to happen. It's just not right.
And by the way, this fishing expedition is now going into its third year. This started in 2009.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I see it all the time where they throw the book at somebody who gets a drop of motor oil in their backyard. But then we're shipping all our jobs to China where they just dump the toxic waste right in the ocean. I mean, how is America supposed to operate with these all these new offices that have been erected and the swarms of agents that have been sent out to eat out our substance?
It's very difficult to do business with these issues facing you.
Now, have you seen an upswing in orders, though, with the people sympathetically trying to support American jobs?
A lot of people have been calling in. Yes, we have seen an upswing in orders. Of course, it's only been a couple of days since the raid. But people are just pouring letters and support in from all over the country and all over the world. And yes, we have seen an uptick in people buying product.
So they certainly realize that it's important to have jobs here in America. And in closing, sir, they're claiming that it's because you were working the wood, that it's evil to have jobs here.